Let's pray. Dear Lord, you truly are an awesome and amazing God. And I pray that the words that I have this morning may not be my words, but they may be your words. Lord, use them to open up our hearts and our minds to hear what we need to hear, to understand what we need to understand, to be changed in the way that we need to be changed. For your glory, Lord. Amen. You never know a man's troubles until you preach a sermon in his microphone. If I have trouble this morning, forgive me, but this is fitted for Scott, and I try not to mess with the fitting. So if it falls off or flops around, I'll keep going, but may have to. Hopefully it'll stay in place. We'll see. Is it okay so far? I'll try to quit messing with it. So the last couple of weeks, Scott's been preaching a message a series called Resurrect Me, and leading up to Easter, because that's what we're about to celebrate next week is Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection, and the best part about the fact that Jesus was resurrected is that all of us get to be resurrected as well. But is resurrection simply returning from the dead, life restored to lifelessness, or is resurrection more than that? First week, Scott talked about the fact that we are broken. We are people that are hopeless without Christ. We desperately need a Savior. And then the second week, he talked about we need to die to ourselves if we're going to be able to live in Christ. And then today I'd like to talk about transformation. Transformation is the wonderful result of resurrection. Because we are resurrected in Christ, we get to be transformed into something better. The passage that I have today is actually one of my favorite scriptures. Scott picked this out, but I love it. This is really probably if I had to pick a favorite scripture, this is probably it. But it's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Man, that's just a powerful passage there. And in the spirit of the series, resurrect, the re-words. First week, I believe Scott's word was restoration. And then the second week was reclaim. Well, this week, it's renew. We are called to renew our minds and thereby be transformed. Be transformed into what? Why are we called to, why the transformation? What are we called to be transformed into? Well, according to this passage that we just read, we pull out a number of ways that we are called or really allowed to be transformed. We're called to be transformed into a self-body sacrificer. We're called to die to ourselves. We're called to sacrifice ourselves. The scripture says, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. We don't offer our bodies as a sacrifice, because that would not serve any purpose. We're called to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. We're called to spend our lives, spend everything we have, all of us, for God's will, to accomplish God's amazing work in this world. We're called to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Not just offer or sacrifice ourselves, but in a way that pleases God. And we're also we're transformed into true and proper worshipers. Back to the script, back to the passage. This is your true and proper worship. When we can indeed sacrifice ourselves wholly for God's purpose, submit everything we have That is when we are at our best, when we can truly and properly worship God. That's what we're called to be transformed into, a true and proper worshiper, but also into something different than the world. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. That is hard, isn't it? The world is everywhere. The world is everywhere we look. We're bombarded by the world. But Paul, in this passage, is saying, we're called to be something different than the world. We're called to be transformed into something that goes against the world. That's difficult. And then we're called to be transformed into a tester and approver of God's will. This is a little bit of a strange language here that Paul uses. He says, then you will be, if we do not conform to the pattern of this world and we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, we will be able to test and approve what God's will is. We'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Test it in that we will know what God's will is. And then approve it. God's not saying you can approve what God's will is. You know, okay, God, I understand the will. Yeah, that's great. Go for it. He's not looking for our approval in that sense. He wants us to test and approve so that we own it. We acknowledge it. We approve it and apply it to our own lives. We test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It takes transformation to accomplish this list, doesn't it? Each and every one of us are hopeless to accomplish this list of things that we're called to be about without some sort of transformation. And then also we're called to be transformed into Christ's likeness. And also into a cross carrier. A passage that Scott lifted up last week was from Luke 9:23. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. We're called to deny ourselves, which goes back to that list, so that we can take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. We're called to be a cross carrier. Carry our cross. We have to be transformed to be able to do that. And then also into Christ's likeness. The next passage, 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is kind of a neat passage that I think will reinforce this Romans passage. This is Paul in his letter to the Corinthians. And right before, in this passage, he's referring to Moses bringing down the law for the people of Israel. And he said, and when Moses brought down, met God face to face, received the law, received the stone tablets with the Ten Commandments written on them, his face became radiant. And when he came down from the mountain after having been in the presence of God, his face shone bright, and it scared the people. So in order for Moses to be able to give the law to the people, he had to put a veil over his face to cover the fact that he had met God and that he was still literally glowing from the experience. And then Paul talks about that same veil is still on the Israelite people because they look at the world, they view God through that law. That's an eternal veil that they have, that they're sort of stuck with. But we're referred to as people who don't have the veil. We've lost the veil when we've become Christ followers, when we've become Christians, when we've accepted the gift of Jesus' sacrifice and chosen to follow him, the veil gets taken away. And it's similar to the veil being ripped in the temple the day Jesus died. And then Paul says in this passage, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We are being transformed into the image of Christ. And it also has the word contemplate. We'll get to that in a little bit. But renewing our minds. That's what we're called to do. Right? if we can renew our minds, then we can be transformed into something that Christ can use, into something that honors God, into something that looks like Christ has called us to be. We need to transform. We do that by renewing our minds. How do we do that? How do we renew our minds? How do we clear out all the stuff that's in there that's just taking up space and not doing us any good? How do we clear out the cobwebs? How do we, for you computer guys and girls, how do we reprogram ourselves to think like Christ? How do we renew our minds? The main way is prayer. Some of you may have been a part of the sermon series that Patty and I just preached in the traditional services in the sanctuary called the Red Letter Prayers of Jesus. These are prayers that Jesus prayed. And we talked about what can we learn from those prayers, how to pray, why pray, and all those types of questions. If you weren't a part of that, I encourage you to go on the website or even on the app and download those and watch those or listen to those. But prayer is the main way that God changes us or transforms us. It's the main way through which our will can line up with God's will. It's the main way that we learn how to be children of God. Prayer. Prayer is so important. We've made several calls to prayer during this season of Lent, because we know that that is key. Just sitting before God, just being allowed to be in God's presence in an attitude of prayer changes us. It allows us to open up our hearts and our minds to receive something new. For God to say, this is what I want you to be about, or this is what I want you to do, or this is how I want you to think, or this is how I want you to love. We get that through prayer. But we also are called to renew our minds through study. Makes sense. Study, everybody who ever went to school had to study. And study mainly is cerebral activity. It's a mental exercise. You use your brain, use your mind when you study. But how do we study as children of God? How do we study in a way that allows us to renew our minds so we might be transformed into Christ's likeness? How many of us ever, in this church or in our Christian experience, have ever listened to a sermon twice? There's a few. The technology that we have is wonderful, and we should take advantage of it. Often, I'm sure there are times when me or Scott or Patty preach a message that there's a lot of great stuff in there. It's important things that maybe aren't so easy to grasp the first time. I encourage you, really, anytime there's a sermon preached, we record every sermon in this church, or we try to. Go back and listen to it again, Monday afternoon or Wednesday evening or sometime other, and go through it again and see what you might have missed. See what God was trying to tell you that maybe you didn't quite pick up on. Study that. Study Scripture. Or do both at the same time. When you're praying, have some time for study. Just pick a scripture or a lesson or a text from a biblical scholar and dive in deep into the Word. What does it say? What are those things that I've always heard this story. I don't really understand what it means. Find out what it means. Get in there and study it. Go online. YouTube is an amazing thing. You can Google anything. Lord, ask Google. How did Jesus or how did Moses part the Red Sea? How did that happen? You always wonder that? Go Google it. Find out. That's part of study. We live in an amazing world where every answer is right there. And if you don't trust Google or whoever might be answering your question on Google, email Scott or me or Patty. I got a question. Can you help me out? We'd be happy to. That's part of studying. It's part of intentionally asking questions and seeking answers that can help us to renew our mind, leading to transformation. Then there's also conversation. I'm talking mainly about Christian conversation. Conversation, with your buddies at work about, who lost most recent basketball game or whatever. Yeah, that there's value in that. But I'm talking about conversation around Christian truth. One of the times in my life where I really grew the most in my faith, where I just was on fire. I've been a Christian my whole life. I grew up in the Methodist church, but it was this time in my life where I was just, I couldn't get enough. I couldn't consume enough. I couldn't get enough contact with God and with truth. And it was a time when I was in a group of guys, a part of a group of five or six guys my age that met on Saturday morning, every Saturday morning, for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, had breakfast, and we had some of the best conversation ever. Just around who's God, what's God doing, what does it mean to be young and, you know, in this world? How does all the things that we hear about, and you'll talk about the things that were preached on that Sunday, talk about a scripture, whatever it might be, current events, but you have a conversation around how do those impact who we are? How do those ideas, how do those concepts challenge us? How do they cause us to ask deeper questions, motivate us to then study more and even pray more? That Christian conversation is very important. But it helps tweak our mind. It helps spark our mind so that it might be renewed. The greatest way to find truth or to understand God's truth is by talking with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. If it's up to us, or my experience is, if it's up to me to dissect the scripture and pull truth out of that, it's very difficult. But when you can do that with friends, it becomes a lot easier and a lot more satisfying. Conversation. And then similar to that is contemplation. There's that word again. We just heard that, didn't we? Up here, where Paul told the Corinthians, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory." Contemplation. Contemplation, is by definition a mental activity. And it typically is, we tend to take it as an individual activity. But I think there's contemplation when you're having a conversation with Christian friends, certainly. Contemplation is part of good study time. Contemplation is very applicable when you're just praying. But contemplation is being intentional about thinking about God. Theology. Theology is just the study of God. That's what it means. The study of God. Theo. Study of God. How much time do we spend just thinking about who God is? What God has done in our lives? How God has blessed us? How much time do we spend just wondering, how is God working in this situation? How has God worked in this situation over here already? That conversation we have with our friend or with our coworker, who maybe is a believer, who maybe is not a believer, what is God doing in their lives? Contemplating the truth and amazing love of God. That is the way we renew our mind. When we renew our mind, we can't help but be transformed. Transformation. When you think of transformation, do you think of this primarily? Oh, we all want to be transformed, right? I could stand to have a similar transformation in my life. My wife would say, I don't eat well, I don't exercise well, I don't care about my health, right? No, we all need to be transformed. But this is a valuable thing. Good, healthy living is important. But this is not the transformation that brings value into our lives. Transformation that brings value into our lives is the transformation that Christ made possible on the cross. I think it's very interesting that in the Gospels, the four Gospels of the Bible, over a third of it was set in the last week of Jesus' life, Holy Week, the week that we celebrate, kick off with Palm Sunday. a lot, the Gospels focus a lot on that week. And Jesus gives us a lot of information. Jesus gives us a lot of truth. Jesus gives us a lot of messages and prayers and interactions. Because he wants us to be transformed. He doesn't want us to be what we've always been. We may have grown up in the church. We may have been a Christian for 20, 30, 40 years. But he doesn't want us to stop transforming. Transformation, true transformation, is a lifetime event. It's not like a butterfly. You go in a couple weeks through the cocoon, and then out you pop a butterfly. You're done. That's it. That's all a butterfly transforms. Transformation in the Christian life takes continual renewal of our minds. Transformation that takes a lifetime to really get where God wants us to be. Methodists, John Wesley would call it sanctification, or we're moving towards perfect love, perfect Christian love. It takes a life. It takes a lifetime of continuing to grow, intentionally asking questions, digging deeper, spending more time on our knees, spending more time with the Bible open, spending more time talking about God and trying to figure out what is God doing in our lives. When we are faithful to that, not by our own power, but through the gift of the Holy Spirit, when we are faithful to actively allow God to renew our minds, God is faithful to transform us. God is faithful to transform us into the people that he wants us to be, into people who literally can transform the world around us. That is the gift of Easter. That is the gift of this Holy Week. We have 7 days between now and Easter. We have opportunities to come and to pray and to begin this process of renewing our minds here at the church. Worship services, opportunities to pray. I encourage you to spend time on your own, reading scripture, talking with Christian brothers and sisters. If Jesus is going to enter into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, knowing full well he was going to die a painful, terrible death, so that each and every one of us might be transformed, should we take up that wonderful gift and actually be transformed? We can. God has given us so much. He has so much more to give. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you truly are an awesome and amazing God. You have blessed us. You have saved us. You have taught us a better way. Lord, give us strength. Give us wisdom. Give us courage. Give us boldness to live our lives for you. Lord, help us to be transformed into someone that you can use for your glory. Help us to use all the gifts you've given us to be a blessing to others. Lord, it's not about us. It's about you. Thank you for an opportunity to invite us into what you're doing and transforming the world. Praise your name. Amen.